Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Revelation, our first reading today, St. John wrote this: I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." This is our text. Do you see the vision of what St. John is sharing from the book of Revelation? It's as if he is standing on the very edge of heaven. As he tells us what he sees and hears, it's like we get to be there with him. He is our eyes, he is our ears. What he experiences, we experience through him, through this word of God. What he sees, we see with him. What he hears, we hear too. And just for a moment, the curtain of heaven is pulled back, and we get a glimpse of the saints, the Christians of all times and of all places who have gone before. We glimpse the saints in glory with Christ. It's like a sneak preview of what is to come. It's a picture of where we Christians will stand on the last day, or when our last hour comes. A picture of what we will see and of what we will hear on that day. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. John sees all the saints who from their labors rest. They stand shoulder to shoulder in a great crowd. More people than you could pack into Fenway or Gillette. More people than have ever gathered on earth for a state funeral or the most popular religious event. I picture the scene like this. At first, it's a bit blurry. You just have the big picture, and then it starts to gradually come into focus. And as it comes into focus, John starts to see not just the greatness of the multitude, but also the particulars. He notes the diversity of those gathered. It's like a palette of every color, red and yellow, black and white. He hears many languages blending together into one song, one shout of praise. These people are from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and from all the ends of the earth. They're Italian, Inuit and Laplander, Maasai and Maori, Cherokee and Kurd, Palestinian, Persian and Polynesian. Disciples of all nations standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And as we look at this great multitude gathered in heaven, perhaps we start to notice individuals. It's like a who's who of saints. There's Enoch, who walked with God. And Noah, a righteous and blameless man who took seriously God's threat of judgment and his promise of salvation. Why, it's Moses with his shining face. Elijah come from the chariot of fire, and John the Baptist wearing his head again. Up front, Peter and Paul, those tireless pastors and missionaries who died for Christ. And over there is Polycarp of Smyrna, a man who at the age of 84 years would have lived if he would have simply pinched a little bit of incense to Caesar, but instead was burned and then stabbed to death for confessing the faith. or Perpetua and Felicity, two women who were thrown to wild animals because they were Christians. And the list could just go on and on and on, right up to the present time, right up to the people whose faces you know and love and whose names you recognize. And think about these people. Think about all the things they did. Think about all the things they suffered. Think about all the ways that God was faithful to them in life and in death. The book of Hebrews provides a wonderful summary of the saints. It says, through faith, some conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. When I hear those things, I think about what a blessed life I've had. How little my life resembles those who were sawn in two or had to hide in caves. But I'll tell you, as I look at this multitude, this host in heaven, I know that I want to be numbered among those saints. We want to stand with them around that throne. We want to lift our voices with them in praise to the Lamb. But I'll be honest, when I think about all these saints who have gone before, I can't help but wonder, sometimes, do I belong there? Would I fit in with all these saints? Why, I haven't even done a fraction of what they did, and I haven't suffered anywhere near what they suffered. When I think about the pastors who have gone before, I think about the wonderful ways in which they served, and I know I'm not there yet. They lived holy lives, but we are sinners, and we know our sin, and we know our unholiness, and we wonder, do we belong there with that company of heaven as we stand with John at the edge? But then we notice this. These saints in heaven, they aren't looking around at each other. They aren't praising themselves or praising each other. They aren't drawing attention to their great works of faith. They aren't drawing attention to their sufferings. No one is saying, well, you know, you think that was bad, I was sawn in two. They aren't comparing their lives to one another. But instead, they are all looking in the same direction. They are all staring at the same thing. Behold a host, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Their eyes and their ears, their bodies and their lives are all directed together to the throne. The focus is all on the Lamb. The praise is all of the Lamb. The worship is all of the Lamb. And who is this Lamb? He is the Lamb who was slain, but is standing. The Lamb who was slain, but is standing. The one who was crucified, but is now risen from the dead. Jesus Christ it is. There too is the focus of the angels, of the elders, of the four living creatures. All of heaven is bending toward the Lamb. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. And then one of the elders came over to John and said, "Who are all these people clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I picture John with kind of a shrug of the shoulder and, "You know way better than I do." And the man says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, the ones coming out of the suffering and sorrow of this world and this life. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And look at what these saints have in common. They all have the same clothing, blood-white robes. They're all holding the same symbol of victory in their hands, the palm branches, like the crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And they are all singing the same song. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They share this. They were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And they share this. They were taught the faith, and they were given the things of Jesus to hold on to. Their robes, as I said, are blood white, and this is what makes them saints. And the blood that we speak of here is not the blood of the martyrs, but it is the blood of Christ. It is his blood shed on the cross, covering you in your baptism, covering your loved ones who died in Christ through their baptism. It is that blood that makes them worthy to stand around the throne of Christ. And it is that blood that makes us worthy to be numbered among that company of faith. You see, we share with them what they believed. And we share with them the one in whom they believed. We share with them the one thing that binds them and us together, which is the one Lord Jesus Christ. Whether in heaven or on earth, he is the one we worship. He is the one around whose throne we gather. He is the one whose blood was shed for them and for you. The throne of Christ is the center of the church in heaven and on earth, and it ever shall be. And even though that curtain right now is sort of covered, even though we can't stand at the edge and see heaven in the way St. John did, still we know through Christ that this is where we belong. These are our people, and we too are numbered among that multitude. And the promise that was given to them is the promise that is given to us. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sins forgiven, death defeated, devil overcome. And so it is also for us. We too are called children of God, and so we are. But what we will be has not yet been revealed. But one day, our Lord will return in glory, and we will see him face to face, and we will be like him, and we will be with that multitude in heaven. And we will be holding the palm branches, and we will see our robes white in the blood of the Lamb, and we will hear our mouths open in that song of praise. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Look up, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for the day is coming soon. In Jesus' name, amen.